Thank you so much. It's great to be here. You guys have been partnering with us for maybe about 20 years, so we really appreciate it. And sorry, Jeannie can't be here today. We actually have a house church that meets in our home on Sundays, so she is home there today. But we are extremely grateful that you guys have partnered with us. We're also really excited. We have something in New York City called Seed Weeks, where people come up, groups from churches come up, and they help us engage people all around New York City with the gospel and engage them spiritually to find those people who are spiritually interested. And you might say, man, that's so difficult for me to engage people spiritually. I just get so nervous and I don't know what to say and all of that kind of stuff. Seed Weeks will help you. Seed Weeks will help you take a step to grow in that area. At one of our Seed Weeks, one of our people went into a park and met this guy, Miguel, and just basically said something like this: hey, is there anything that we can pray for you about? And that opened up a door in his life, and he began to share, and they told a little bit more about Jesus. And the next week, Miguel was baptized. And then his girlfriend was baptized. And then a week after that, her brother was baptized. God was bringing the gospel into Miguel's life, but really God was bringing the gospel into Miguel's family and his community, and people started getting saved. Another story of something that happened during a Seed Week is somebody was talking to somebody else about spiritual things, and this person wasn't extremely receptive, but somebody walked by them who was Tibetan, walked by them and heard them speaking about spiritual things. And he said, excuse me, are you guys talking about God? And they were like, yeah. And he said this. He said, last night I had a dream and I saw a man who I think might have been Jesus coming down from the clouds. And he pointed right at me. And the guy said, what does this mean? This guy was not a believer. He was Tibetan. He was Buddhist. But he overheard this conversation. He said, I had this dream. What does it mean? Well, our teammate, after they were finished talking to this person, went and said, well, I don't know exactly what your dream means, but let me tell you about Jesus and what he did. And they shared with him about Jesus, his saving us from our sin, death, and resurrection. The next day, he put his faith in Christ. We need people to come help us. There are millions of people, and we are trying to find those people who are spiritually interested. So we need help because we can't engage every person. So I want to encourage you to think about coming up to New York City to join us for a Seed Week. And I think Michelle's going to share more about that. But this is really what God has designed us for. He has designed us to be his mouthpiece. He has designed us to be his ambassador to proclaim the good news. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Now, we're actually going to jump around a little bit, and you don't need to turn to every spot. We're just going to reference a few different passages here and there. But in Matthew 5, it gives a famous passage that says that we are the light. That we are the light. And we're going to see this in verse 14 and 15. That we, as the church, as believers, are the light of the world. Now, Jesus is also called the light. But in this passage, it says that we are the light. Now, that's interesting. Okay? So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It says this. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And oftentimes in our lives, you know what we do? We have this light and it's under a bowl. We hide it. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine so that people can see your good deeds. Now, so this is a very famous passage about us being light. And I think this is a great passage, but it's sometimes a little bit misleading. And I'll tell you what I mean. It's a little bit misleading. This says, let your light shine so that people see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. That's great. By the way we live, our light should shine through our activities and the way we engage people and through our lifestyle. And by looking at this passage, sometimes we think that our our light only shines by what we do and the lifestyle that we live. Now, it is true that it does shine by what we do and the lifestyle we live, but there are other passages that give a fuller explanation of what this means when it talks about let your light shine. Okay, let me give you, so you understand what I'm saying so far? We sometimes think our light shines mostly by people seeing us and how we live. But what I'm trying to show is that people also see your light by what you say and what they hear. And actually, if you look at Scripture, the primary way that people see God's light through you is by what you say and what they hear. Okay? That's the primary way. It's by what we say and what we hear. Have you guys ever heard of Francis of Assisi? He made this statement, and it's a great, great quote. He says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Okay? And there's something nice about that. It's basically saying that our lifestyle and the way that we live should be proclaiming the gospel all the time. And it's a great saying, but I think people love that saying, especially because in some ways it can be construed with the idea that I don't have to speak. I can just live a lifestyle that proclaims the gospel and I don't have to speak. And I don't think this saying completely aligns with Scripture and the thrust of Scripture. If I was going to change this statement, and of course I have no right to change Francis of Assisi's statements, but if I were going to try to align this a little bit better with Scripture, I would say it like this. I would say, preach the gospel at all times and whenever possible, use words. Preach the gospel at all times and whenever possible, use your words as well. So basically what I'm going to try to show is that the way God designed it is that our activities and our good deeds till the soil, but our words plant the seeds. Our lifestyle, our activities, our good deeds till the soil in people's lives, but it's our words that plant the seeds. Okay, so the main point is that our light primarily shines through our mouths. Our light primarily shines through our mouths. Okay, let me give you some examples of this. In John chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. It says this, verse 46, 47. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus is speaking. If anyone hears my words, you hear what he's saying? I have come into the world as a light so that you don't live in darkness. If anyone hears my words and believes. So basically Jesus is saying, I'm a light and you come to believe through my words. That's how you see this light, through my words. You look at John chapter 5, it talks about the John who came before Jesus, John the Baptist. It says, John was sent to testify to the truth. So he was here to testify with his words to the truth. John was a lamp, it says in chapter 5, 31 through 35. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy that light. So it was through John's testimony that he was a light. So we see this idea over and over in Scripture that we are a light through our words and through our mouths. You see Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. If you wanted to reference this, it's between 46 and 49, those verses. But in this passage here, Paul says that we had this to speak the word of God to you. He's speaking to the Jews. We had to speak it to you first, but then they weren't receiving it, or most weren't receiving it. And then it says, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles. And it says, when the Gentiles heard this, they believed. And then it says, the word of the Lord spread throughout that region. So Paul and Barnabas, through their words and through their ministry of engaging people spiritually and sharing the good news, it was through this that they were a light to the Gentiles. So Matthew is a great passage. It says that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Father. So we are a light through our deeds, but we are also, and we see more often, that we are a light through our words. So the primary way that people see your light or receive your light is it comes out of your mouth and goes into their ears. So our good deeds till the soil, but our words plant the seeds. Okay, your good deeds till the soil. So people see your life and it starts to make them wonder. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of people who are really good people who aren't believers. You look at them and they just say, man, they just seem to be wanting to help people. When you do that, people notice, and then the words that you speak plant the seeds. Make sense? If you leave with anything, leave with this. Our good deeds till the soil, our words plant the seeds. Think about the woman at the well. I'll tell you, I just think that we don't understand the power of our testimonies. We don't understand the power of our testimonies. The woman at the well, she is there, she interacts with Jesus. Jesus comes and says, can you get me a drink of water? And she says, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to get the water with. And I'm not going to share the whole story. Basically, she's surprised that Jesus is talking to her. One, she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. Two, he's a male, she's a female. Shocked that Jesus is talking to her. And then Jesus says, actually, if you knew who I was and you knew the gift of God, you would ask me for water and I would give you living water. Jesus tried to help her understand that that he had spiritual water that would flow up inside of her, bubbling up to eternal life. She was missing it. He finally says, go call your husband. And she says, actually, I'm not married. And then Jesus says, actually, it's true that you're not married. The fact is that you've been married 5 times, but the guy you're now living with is not your husband. She realizes that Jesus is a prophet, realizes Jesus is special. She basically says, man, I've been waiting my whole life for the Messiah to come. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. I'm waiting for the Messiah. And Jesus looks at her and he says, the man you are speaking to is he. Changes her world. Her eyes are opened. Her life in Christ begins. And what does she do? She goes back to the village. And if you look at the end of John chapter 4, at the very end of the passage, it says this. And I want to come back and tell you about her in a moment. But it says this. Many people believed in Jesus. And then it says this. Because of her testimony. Now, who is this woman? This is a woman who's been married 5 times. This is a woman who has been divorced 5 times. This is a woman who's now living with a guy who's not her husband. This is a woman who is the talk of the town. Nobody wants to be around this woman. Basically, excuse my language, but this woman is the whore of the village. She is completely, in other people's eyes, she is trash. I'm just explaining the way other people were thinking, right? Who does Jesus come to? He comes to her. Why? You see this over and over in the New Testament. Jesus is talking to these religious people. And he says, these prostitutes and sinners are closer to the kingdom of heaven than you are. You think you're so holy. You think you're so clean. You do your religious thing. And because of your religious pride and because you think you're all that, you are so far from the kingdom of heaven. But it takes people who understand their sinfulness, who understand the wretchedness, who are ready to receive. And Jesus comes to her, the person that everybody else looked down on, and changes her life. And you would think that people wouldn't listen to her, right? But she goes back and she simply tells people what happened. They see that her life, something is going on with this woman's life. She basically just shares what she knows. She basically shares the experience that she's having with Jesus. And it says many people in that village believed in Jesus because of her testimony. I mean, this woman hadn't been to Bible classes. This woman hadn't been to evangelism classes. This woman didn't fully understand who Jesus was. I'll tell you, you know who the best people are? The best evangelists? People who just come to Christ. People who just come to Christ. It's so important for us in our ministry when we find somebody who they just come to Christ that they begin to engage their family and friends. They're the ones whose lives are so passionate and excited and transformed that people see it. You know what happens? Time goes by and oftentimes we slip into a culture of religion and silence. And it's deadly. We have to work to not drift there. We have to work to not drift there. One of the reasons is because our whole culture, have you guys heard that, you know, the Enlightenment? It's interesting when you talk to a Muslim, and from the very first conversation, they start talking about God. You talk to a Christian and months can go by where they even bring up a spiritual thing. You know, it's interesting because these Muslims that we're interacting with and these Buddhists that we're interacting with, these people who are coming from all over the world, they actually have a more accurate biblical worldview than Christians do. And what do I mean by that? They think that the world is a spiritual place. They think that actually God interacts with all of the activities of our lives. Now, they don't understand the truth of Christ, but they think, man, when my child's sick, there's a spiritual reality to this. You see, because of the Enlightenment, we have separated the spiritual reality from the physical reality. And we basically, because of our culture, we basically think that everything is here and happens because of natural causes, because there's scientific reasons for why it happens. The spiritual's not connected to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our secular culture has so influenced us that we don't connect God to pretty much most things in our lives except when we come to church. And because of that, because that worldview has influenced us so much, God's not part of our language. He's not part of our daily language. So when we go to work, we talk about sales, we talk about, you know, contracts, we talk about doing this or that, and we don't include God as a part of it. And what we need to learn is how to bring God back into our daily language. That's what we need to learn. We need to learn to how to turn up the volume of our spiritual lives. Why? Because Jesus said, my Father is always at work, even to this very day. God is working. And it also says, and you look at Luke chapter 10, it says this, the harvest is plentiful. Do you know what that means? That means that there are plentiful. That means that there are thousands of people all around this area who are ready for salvation. They're ripe. And they just need someone to engage them spiritually. And they will respond positively. Doesn't mean they want to come to church. Let's not confuse church with being spiritually receptive. Let's not confuse church with them being interested in Jesus. It just means that they are ripe for salvation. It means that they are spiritually ready. And they're looking for someone to spiritually engage them. And if we do, they will respond. They will respond. But they, you see, spiritually interested people are looking to engage anybody spiritually. And when someone engages them spiritually, then they want to talk more. And we need to turn up the volume of our lives. You know why? I'll tell you this. So we have this training in New York City. It's a one-year training. Missionaries come there. We have about 20 to 20 people a year who come through this training. It's a one-year training. And the number one thing that we try to help people do to prepare them for ministry is turn up the volume of their spiritual language. Turn up the volume of God in their life. Okay? Just to let people know that they're spiritual people. The people whose volume is the loudest lead the most people to Christ, period. The people whose volume is the lowest influence the least amount of people spiritually, period. Period. The people whose volume is up, did you ever look at it and say, man, why is it that all, how, man, this person's always leading people to the Lord. How does that happen? Why doesn't God bring people to me like this? You know why? God may not, first of all, God may be bringing people by and you're just not engaging them. But if God was going to bring somebody to someone, he was going to bring them to somebody who will live out loud. So this is something we help people work on. This is something that I'm constantly working on in my own life. Because I, just like most people, drift into silence spiritually. So I need to continually work to turn the volume back up. So one time, a couple years ago, I was going to the gym, maybe a year and a half ago, and I was like, oh man, I really need to keep working to turn the spiritual volume up. And I'll tell you this, sometimes when you're working to engage people spiritually, sometimes it goes really well, and other times it goes not so well. And I just want to say that as you are trying to grow in this area of turning up the volume to your spiritual life, when it goes well, praise God. When it doesn't go well, that's okay. Not everybody is going to be spiritually interested, you know, but there are many who are. And the only way that we know who is spiritually interested is if we're casting a lot of seeds everywhere. That's why we get this picture of the farmer who went out and cast seeds. And you look at this farmer and you say, this farmer is an idiot. He's casting these valuable seeds and they're falling on the path, on the heart. I mean, there's no farmer that does that. But Jesus is saying, you want to cast seeds so generously, cast it everywhere. Why? Because you don't know who the hard soil is. And don't think that you can figure out and say, oh, that person will never come to Christ. Don't ever say that. You don't know that. You weren't worthy to come to Christ. The only reason you came to Christ is because God did something miraculous in you. You can't say that about anybody. And some of the people who have the greatest testimonies are people who you think, man, they are so far, and God changes their life. So we just cast seed everywhere. So anyway, I'm going to Planet Fitness, and I'm like, okay, I need to turn the volume up. Because for me, my personality is like point A to point B. I want to get there as fast as possible, and sometimes I just don't engage people along the way. So I'm like, okay, Kevin, slow down. And just talk to people. Now, the interesting thing is I'll go out and I'll engage people if it's in my schedule. But if it, you know what I mean? Like I go out and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out to share the gospel and engage people spiritually. But when it's not in my schedule, I don't. And I'm like, this is how I'm trying to grow. So I'm like, okay, I need to slow down and just engage people spiritually. So I go to the gym and I'm leaving Planet Fitness on 125th Street. And there's a person working behind the counter. And I'm just like, oh, hey, how you doing? And I decide to put, you know, it was wintertime. I decide to put my sweatshirt and stuff on there to give me a little bit of time at the counter. I said, oh, how you doing? She says, oh, I'm doing great. I was like, really? Why? She said, well, I found my phone. And I was like, oh, great. And now, you know, like I'm not, my personality is not really like a praise the Lord type of personality. Like I'm not one to say, oh, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? Some people pull that off really well. I don't pull that off so well. It doesn't sound so natural for me, right? So she's like, I lost my phone and I found it. And I'm trying to think, what can I say spiritual? What can I say spiritual? And my mind's spinning, you know, how can I connect this? How can I connect this? And you know, this is the first thing, look, laugh at me if you want, but this is the first thing that comes to my mind. I'm like, wow, you should like call your friends together and have like a party. She ignored that. She ignored it. And then she just said, it ended up being after several days, it was down in the couch, you know, the whole thing. And I found it. And I said, actually, because of course she wouldn't get that reference. Maybe you didn't even get it. But she's like, I was like, actually, there's this story in the Bible where someone lost something and they found it. So they call a bunch of their friends together and they celebrate. And I said, actually, that's a story about when someone's far away from God, when they come back, all the angels celebrate that they came back to God. And she says, really? She says, you know what? I've never been to church and I've never read the Bible. But about 3 weeks ago, for some reason, I just had this urge to buy a Bible. And so I bought one. And she says, and now this. And I said, really? I said, are you interested in learning about the Bible? And she said, yeah. I said, really? Why don't you gather some of your friends together and we can start a Bible study? So the point is this. God was doing something in her life. She wasn't even aware that God was doing something in her life, but he was. For some reason, he prompts her to buy this Bible. She buys it. And now God's going to bring somebody to engage her spiritually. It just happened to be that God was convicting me and saying, Kevin, turn up the volume, slow down and engage people along the path. So I worked to do it, said some stupid things, and God used it. And I'm just like, wow. Now, let me tell you what would have happened. I used to think, man, if I don't engage people, they're just going to be lost and go to hell forever. I don't think that so much anymore. I think this. If I didn't engage her, God would have brought God would have brought somebody else. Thank God he would have. God would have brought somebody else along who would. And I would have been on the sidelines always saying, man, why is it that those people always lead so many people to the Lord? God will use every one of us if we just begin to open our mouths and engage people spiritually. And I'm not talking about pushing the gospel down people's lives. I'm talking about just engaging people spiritually. Like now my go-to thing when I engage somebody, especially if I meet them from another country, I say, oh, where are you from? And they might say, oh, I'm from Senegal. And I say, really? God's doing really cool things in the lives of people from Senegal. They're like, really, what do you mean? Well, so from conversation number one, they know that I'm a spiritual person. I haven't shared the gospel. All they know is that I'm a spiritual person. And what I say to people is I say, people, if you want to engage a lot of people and lead a lot of people to come closer to Jesus, you have to do it from conversation number one. If you wait till the second conversation, it's going to be twice as hard. You wait to the third conversation, now it's like five times as hard. You wait till like the fourth conversation, it's just not happening. We had a woman in our house church network. I'll call her Joanne. And Joanne had this Muslim woman. Now Joanne had children, had small kids, and this Muslim woman had small kids from Bangladesh, lived right next door. And Joanne, they were getting together for play dates, and they were getting together often. And Joanne said to us, she's in our house, she said, please pray that God would give me an opportunity to share the gospel with my neighbor. I just want to engage her spiritually. And so we're praying for Joanne, and weeks are going by. We're like, how's it going, Joanne? Oh, I still don't have an opportunity yet. I'm just praying that God will open the door so that I can engage her spiritually. And weeks are going by. Then Joanne, how's it going? I said, oh, I'm still just praying that God would let me engage her spiritually, right? So this is what's going on. And then Joanne one day calls up her neighbor because they would often get together for play dates for their kids. And she called up the mother and said, do you guys want to come over and play? And about an hour later, the woman came over, knocked on the door, was all alone, and she said, I'm here to pray. English is not her first language. She misunderstood. Joanne said, do you guys want to come over and play? And the woman heard, do you want to come over and pray? And within an hour, I'm here to pray. Now, there's a couple different ways to look at this story. One way, and this could be valid, is that in God's grace, in God's grace and his love, he opened a door that Liz could not open. He gave her this opportunity. That's one way to look at it, and praise God for that. Let me tell you another way to look at it. All of this time, Joanne is agonizing over how can I engage this person spiritually. All of this time, she's just praying and agonizing, and all she had to do was say, do you want to pray? And the person was ready. I think 90% of the pain that we feel and the awkwardness that we feel about engaging people spiritually is self-inflicted. We inflict it on ourselves, and if we just get comfortable with it and be natural and just feel comfortable in our own skin to be the godly people that we are and just engage people spiritually, people will feel very comfortable. We make them feel uncomfortable because we feel uncomfortable. And I get it. Look, in the process, as you're growing in this area of turning up the spiritual volume in your life, it's going to be uncomfortable. But don't give up. I've said so many stupid things. Let me give you another quick story of a stupid one. So I have this eye problem. Maybe some of you guys know, but it's this deteriorating eye condition, right? And so every once in a while, every so often, I have to go to the doctor's office and get pictures taken of my eyeballs to see if, you know, if the condition's getting worse. So I'm in the office, and they put these kind of clamps on my eyes to hold my eyes open, and then they have a camera right there, and there's a technician of some sort behind the camera taking pictures of my eyes. So I'm sitting there, and this person's very silent, and I'm just thinking, okay, how can I engage this person spiritually? And I'm just thinking, you know, you're just running through, like, as fast as your mind can work, all different possibilities. And the only thing I could think of was this. I said, my eye problem, do you think it's the cause of my sin or the sin of my parents? Because in the Bible, there's this place where someone says, is this, this? And that's the only thing I could think of. And so I asked it. And this was her response. You'll have to ask the doctor. You know, didn't go so well. You know what? So what? So what? I've never seen her again. And you know what? Even if I did see her again, maybe I'd feel a little weird. But you know what? Who knows what God is doing in this person's life? I used to work at this company, and I used to try to live out loud with all the people that I was working with. And there was this one woman there. Actually, her name was Joanne as well. What is it with these Joannes? Anyway, there's this woman, Joanne, there. She was what I'd call an evangelistic atheist, which means she just wasn't just an atheist, but she was evangelistic about being an atheist. Like, she would try to encourage other people, like, God's ridiculous and all this stuff. Anyway, I would be there, and, you know, we were friends, but she was constantly jabbing me and making fun of me and harassing me in kind of a fun way to her, I guess. Anyway, like, things like this. Oh, Kevin's coming. Everybody watch your language. Kevin's coming. Be careful what you say. Don't curse. And I'm just like, all right, Joanne, all right. Anyway, this went on for years, you know. And then after years, one day she came into the office, walked down the hall, walked past her office, came to my door, knocked on it. And she said, hey, can I come in? And she shut the door behind her. And she said, can you pray for my mother? She just found out she has cancer. All of a sudden, this hardened atheistic mocker is now ready and spiritually receptive. We just don't know. We just don't know. But we have to turn up the volume to our spiritual language. I heard somebody, I was getting off the shuttle, I was getting off a flight somewhere, and I was on an airport shuttle of some sort, and someone else, and I heard the bus driver who was helping people get onto the shuttle, someone said something like, oh, you know, I can't believe, you know, I caught this thing when it was so late, or something like that, and the airport shuttle guy said this so naturally, he just said, man, God surprises us in some ways, doesn't he? Just real natural. And I was like, bam, that's living out loud. Maybe the person never responded, but this guy does it all day. Man, I don't know why I'm so emotional. This guy does it all day, and I can guarantee you this, he's probably leading all kinds of people to Christ. I didn't speak with him. I couldn't. He was too busy, and I was getting off. But he was just like, man, God surprises us in different ways, doesn't he? He said, that's just the way God works, isn't it? You know what I mean? Something really happened. Man, that's just the way God works. He was so natural. And I was just like, man, that guy is, I need to learn from people like that. We need to turn the volume up. But I can tell you this, we have people come to our equip training. It's this 1-year training. It's not easy to break behaviors. Oh, my time's up. It's not easy. It's not easy to break behaviors. You need people to help you along. You need people to coach. You need other people who are going to say, hey, how did you live out loud this week? How did you turn up the volume? You're going to take 2 steps forward. You're going to take some steps back. You're going to keep going. But we need to fight against the culture that is telling us, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about God. It's not cool. It's not acceptable. It's not politically correct. We need to fight that because that's not who we are. We are children of God, and he has changed our lives, and he's a part of every area of our lives, and we need to bring God into every area of our lives and every part of our language. That's really the beginning of what missions is all about. Whether it's missions to your workplace or missions to Bangladesh or wherever, it's about opening our mouths and just being the light. Look, our good works till the soil. We need to be light in that way. But it's our words that plant the seeds. And there are thousands of people all around who are ready to be planted and grow in Christ if we would open our mouths. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we just praise you that you give us this opportunity. We're so unworthy. We're so unworthy, Lord, in so many ways, and yet you use us, and you've rescued us, and you've saved us, and we just thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the incredible opportunity to just be used by you to see people take steps toward Christ, to see people get saved. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray, I just pray, Lord, that all of us here would see growth in this area of our lives, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.